You have your Bibles. We're going to go to Psalm 3 and I'm going to finish up tonight. Psalm 3. And hopefully you've been reading Psalm 3 and 2 Samuel, chapter 15 through 18. And, if you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. Somebody say, I slept. Tell your neighbor, you need a nap. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. The Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Notice this. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly.
Hallelujah.
Pretty awesome. Verse 8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Let's go to verse 4 and verse 5, please. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, and awoke. For the Lord sustained me. He sustained me. And I want to talk to you on this thought, pick up from last week. The lifter of my head. The lifter of my head. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. And I want to commend you. There's so many of you that have your Bibles. And I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Thank you. And thank you for honoring our family on Pastor's Appreciation on Sunday night. We were very blessed by that, and we love you, and thank you for honoring us. The lifter of my head, if you read in it, what is it, 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18, David is in a crisis. He's having some trouble in his home. His son Absalom rebelled against him. His son Absalom was his third son. His son Absalom killed his brother Amnon because of some because of fornication, of sin in the home that took place. And this was exposed because the sin came to being because David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and his sin was exposed by the prophet Nathan. And what David had done in secret, Nathan the prophet said, what you've done in secret, the Lord is going to openly expose you, and there's going to be sin in your home. And from that very moment, David had sin in his home. And as awesome as a king David was, he had trouble. In fact, interestingly enough, David, when all this began to happen, was already king for about 25 years. And so you would think that anybody that has been a king for 25 years would have had it figured out, would have had some things in order. But David, obviously, his first problem was that he sinned. The second problem is he tried to cover up his sin. His third problem is he conspired, and then the sin began to kind of unravel. And if we know anything about sin, it's like falling down a hill that you're climbing on, and you're slipping, and it takes you further and further away. And so David began to have this turmoil in his home, and Absalom, his son, rose up against him. In fact, you read in 2 Samuel chapter 15 where Absalom got us some horses, and he got 50 men to run in front of him, and he would woo the people when they'd come see the king. He would woo them and say, well, basically, in Pastor Panero's terms, if I was king or there was someone to listen, you know, I would do it that way. And when they would come and bow down before him, he'd reach out and embrace him. He was a people person. He was charismatic. He had long hair. And I mentioned it last week that his long hair, he cut it once a year, and his hair was so heavy and so thick that when he cut it, it weighed about 5 pounds. In fact, you'll see in the scripture, in fact, I'll just tell you that the ending of it, Absalom was running away from David's men, and he was riding on a mule, and he hits a tree, and commentaries would say was his head, and others would say his hair, because of the thickness of his hair and so much hair that it got caught in the branches. And so he's there, the donkey goes from under, or the mule goes from underneath him, and he's there hanging, and Joab comes, and which was his cousin, and kills him. Do you talk about some family drama? This family had drama. But notice, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a psalmist. He was a minstrel. He was anointed by... This is the David that killed Goliath. I mean, this is the same guy that played the harp. And when the evil spirits would come to King Saul. And look what where he was at. He's running and he's hiding. And he's has this rebellion from within his own home. And there's trouble, as they say. There's trouble in the camp. And there's trouble in his home. And David finds himself in a disarray. And I'm paraphrasing, but there were those that said, you know what? You got what you deserve. This is a punishment. And David even alludes to it in Psalms 3:1. Lord, how are the increase that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. They even say there's no help for him in God. They wrote him off. But David understood something, that God was his shield, his glory, and the lifter of his head. To lift up means to rise up, to promote, to mount up, or to set up. Excuse me. David knew that he was dealing with a rebellious spirit, but David also knew who the lifter of his head was. David knew where his bread was buttered. Some of us need to understand that even though David was dealing with his sins, he had forgiven sins, but he had lingering issues. And the first point I want to make this evening is based off Psalm 3 and 5. It says, I laid me down and I slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. The first point is, God will give you rest if you let him. He will. David says, I lay down and slept. You know, sleep does not come easy in a time of crisis. Crisis or trouble will keep you up all night. Because you stay up all night and then you can figure everything out, right? And you can fix all the problems if you stay up all night. You know, staying up all night and worrying about it will fix the problem. Somebody say amen. No, that's not true. It won't. Fixing the problem is not going to, staying up all night is not going to fix the problem. But David could have had sleepless nights. But David understood that his help came from the Lord. He understood that God was the lifter of his head. How could a man sleep with all this trouble? I mean, think about this. But sleep would be the last thing that David would want. And notice what Proverbs says. If you're taking notes, Proverbs 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. David sleeps during a rebellion. David sleeps during trouble. David had choices to make. I'm sure David was broken. He was in an environment of brokenness, and spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. I'm sure he was broken. He was no young warrior. He was already a king for about 25 years. But he slept. And what made the difference for David for him to sleep? The difference is what we read in Psalm 3:4. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. David prayed, and David talked to the Lord. David gave us an example of what to do when we're in distress. David had the assurance of an answered prayer brings peace. David understood that taking things to God in prayer can bring peace. David demonstrated strong faith by declaring that he was going to go to sleep after he prayed and knew that the Lord would sustain him. Let me share something with you. Let me help you connect the dots. How many of you have ever came to a Thursday night prayer meeting? I mean, you've had your anxiety. You've just got so much on your chest and your heart and your mind, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And you come to a Thursday night prayer meeting and you have a little talk with Jesus and you go home and you sleep like a baby. You're just snoring, mouth open, drool. I mean, you're just sleeping real good. Or like Sunday night, Spirit moved. Brother Jurassic, a few minutes before he was about to preach, Spirit moved, and everybody that wanted a breakthrough and needed a breakthrough got a breakthrough. And how many could testify that Sunday night, my goodness, you slept like a baby. You slept good. Because, you know, it was a conversation. It was something that you got connected to in the Spirit. That ought to be a reminder to us that you know what? The Scripture says the Lord is not asleep, and his ear isn't closed and his arm isn't short, Tiffany, that he can't hear us. So there's no reason why for you to be up all night worrying about something. Just give it to the Lord. Pray before you go to bed. Read a scripture and go to sleep and snore or drool or get Zippo or whatever it is you got to do to get some sleep. Just give it to the Lord in prayer. Allow the Lord to take care of you. David knew that in order for God to sustain him and to help him, he had to pray and he had to have to give something to the Lord. David knew that prayer would bring peace. And John 14 and 27 tells us, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is anybody here? Can anybody say, "Oh yeah, the world has given me peace"? No. It's giving you headache and drama and stress and grief and gray hair, right? It ain't giving you peace. It gives you ulcers, right? It gives you headaches and migraines and anxiety and makes you go crazy. You want to run somebody over, you know? But the peace that God gives, what does the scripture says? Gives you peace which passeth all understanding. David gives us the parameter in this scripture setting of the Lord sustaining him and giving him rest. There's in some of the most stressful times of my life, I remember probably 4 years ago getting a phone call from corporate office, and they put together a crisis team, emergency crisis team. This was during some very troubling times in our nation. And there was some trouble in an area, and they sent me. It was out of my area, but they sent me and a couple of my peers to this area to go deal with some stuff and to be the eyes on the ground, the boots on the ground. We get over there, and I had never seen anything like it in my entire life. I've seen more police officers, more undercovers, more all law enforcement riding on dirt bikes and quads, and we boarded up our stores, and I saw entire Starbucks get looted, cell phone companies get looted right before my eyes, windows, and they walked in and they stole all of our liquor, just walked in. We're there and they walk in. You know, what are you going to do? There's thousands of people, and they walk in, and they didn't steal our booze to drink it. No, they were doing their T-shirt off and put it in the Molotov cocktails, and they would light it on fire and throw it at law enforcement. They were lighting cars on fire. It was a war. It was crazy. And here I am dressed like this, you know, like, wow, I'm sticking out like a sore thumb, you know? So I, of course, go get a different jacket, take off my sport coat and try to blend in a little. But Sister Evas, guess what? I went to my car and I just put on my Christian music on my playlist, and I sat there and just chilled out and just waited till it was all over, and everyone else was panicking where everybody wants answers, and say, "Hey, well, it is what it is. It's gonna be what it is. God is my shield. God's my protector. I will deal with it when it's all over. No reason for me to get in there and try to solve the world's problems. Hey, God is the lifter of my head." I knew that, hey, there was gonna be some troubling times. There was, in fact, they looted our store for 26 minutes. You imagine thousands of people just going crazy, taking what they want. And it was an environment of chaos. But in the midst of that, I just sat in my car and just kinda listened to music, just waiting for it to be over. You know what? I'm still here. Nothing happened to me. I'm still here. But there's stressful times in our life. There's times in our life where you don't understand where right is and where left's at, and you feel like you're walking in the dark, but God is the sustainer and the protector of your life. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And notice where it says, "give you peace always by all means." That's pretty incredible. That's the God we serve, JP. That's the God that loves us. He's the lifter of our head. So notice this. He'll be the lifter of your head if you allow him to. He'll give you rest if you allow him to. You know, we make comments like, "nobody knows what I'm facing. I'm just so stressed out that I can't even think. I just want peace. I can't get my mind around this. This is just so stressful." And David, we don't know if he made those statements, but we know he found rest and he slept and the Lord sustained him. Notice this. When you're in an emotional state of crisis, when emotions are high, reasoning is usually low. Don't want to make a long-term decision when you're not emotionally sound, and especially if you're not spiritually sound. That is the time you need to be praying and talking to the Lord and seeking godly counsel, not counsel outside of the Word of God, not counsel outside of the church, but you need to seek godly counseling. When you hear yourself or you're dwelling on thoughts of quitting, giving up, disconnecting, uncertainty, fatigue, fear, isolation, being offended, that's the time to cast your doubts right there and then on the Lord, your fears and your burdens. In fact, Isaiah 40:29 says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." You know, you shouldn't be walking around carrying around all these spiritual distractions, burdens, heaviness that will physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually torment you. That's not the purpose or the will of God. In fact, we know the scripture, 1 Peter 5:5-7, "casting all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you." Living for God will not always be perfect, be a bed of roses, be a happy environment 24/7. You're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some opposition. You're going to have some frustrating moments. You're going to have some moments of discontent and not being satisfied. But we cast all of our cares on him. We do what David says, and we pray and we give it to the Lord, and we know that the Lord will sustain us. Here's something else that we need to remind ourselves. In fact, I many times I have to go back and read this scripture and remind myself of this very scripture. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Psalm 91:11. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." We got to remember that. I've been on this, in this vein, the last two services, of reminding ourselves of, we have a heavenly Father. He is our heavenly Father. You are his child. We are all his children. We're not grandchildren. We are not nieces and nephews. We're not stepchildren. We are his children. He'll give us strength and he'll help us and he'll be the sustainer of our life if we allow him. Point two tonight. I only have 2 points. God will sustain you. David says, "I laid me down and I slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me." Your sustaining or your substance is not in yourself. You cannot sustain yourself. You say, "Well, I just kind of an independent person." Well, that's good, but you need the Lord. 1 + 1 = 2. You gotta have the Lord. Your emotional sustaining is not in people. Your emotional sustaining is in God. Your spiritual sustaining is in God. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalms 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Now, if you get a revelation of this, you're gonna be so much further in your walk with God. Where's Primo? Primo, come help me over here, and bring Rupi with you too. There we go. So it says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, that means you're the burden. Okay? So just kind of put your hand on his shoulder, both hands on your shoulder. There we go. That means, what this scripture means is that not only can God carry you and sustain you, but He can handle your burden too. So whatever you're carrying, Andres, I call him Primo. It's Andres. Amen. Primo is cousin. So that means that God can handle whatever Rupi's got. God can handle you, and He can handle Andres. Yeah. He can handle. So wherever you go, you cast your burden on the Lord, and that means that whatever God has for you, He's able to deal with this too. Doesn't mean, well, I got to get rid of this, and then I come to the Lord. No, you cast all your cares and your burdens on the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. That means bring it all to Him. Don't allow yourself to walk around and say, well, I gotta just take care of it myself when I can get it all figured out. No, bring it to the Lord. Put it at the altar. Let God help you. Let God deliver you. Let God bless, so you can get some sleep. He can allow this problem to go away, and He can help you out. And if this problem comes back again, He has the ability to get rid of it again. But he'll thank you. He's able to thank you, Brother Rupi and Andres. Thank you so much. He's able to sustain you. But a lot of times we think, well, I got to sort this out first. No, bring it all to Him. Bring it all to God. When you can get the full revelation of you know what, I'm bringing what I got. I am who I am, and God will take up whatever time He needs to sort you out and to fix it. Allow Him to. Don't think, well, I got to get it all situated first. You don't get good and then get God. Right. You don't get good and have then get a relationship with the Lord. You get God to get good. You get God to be holy. You get God to be righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. Doesn't matter what you have. We have an assurance that God will sustain us. Now, notice what sustaining is. It means to prop. It means to lean on. It means to set yourself on. So when David was saying that the Lord was sustaining him, what he was saying, the Lord was watching over him, or he was leaning on the Lord, and the Lord was propping him up. That's what he was saying. Brother Ronnie, come help pastor. That means that the Lord, why don't you stand right here, stand right in front of this. That means that you see folks that lean up against the wall, you know, and it's like you wonder if they're holding up the wall or the wall's holding them up. But right here, this is holding Brother Ronnie up in this example. Let's turn to the side. There we go. This is holding Brother Ronnie up. And this is what the scripture's saying, is that the Lord sustained him. The Lord is propping him up. When you can't stand on your own, guess what? You just lean back. I'm leaning on the Lord, and the Lord's going to hold me up. Everybody's wondering, well, how in the world is that person still standing? Well, Ephesians 6 tells us, just stand. You can't move, can't go anywhere. Just stand where you are. The Lord will prop you up. He'll hold you up, you know. It's kind of like a drunk person. You got them on there, they're trying to, hey, and your friends are holding them up. It's the same thing. When life is twisting you all around, you're going all crazy, the Lord is there saying, hey, I got you. I'm holding you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to prop you up. Everyone else, all they see is trouble, but I got you. I got you. I got you. Tell your neighbor, God's got you. God's got you. Amen. So when you lean on something, they hold you up. That carries the burden. See, this weighs 50 pounds. And this was holding brother Ronnie up. This was what was holding him up. Hey, there's not a problem too big or too small for our God. In fact, David tells us, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me. And you read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, I want to say it's verse 17. Maybe it's verse 18. And there was 12,000 that one of the men said, hey, we're going to send 12,000 men over to go get David. And they didn't end up sending those 12,000 men to get David. But guess what? It didn't matter. David said, I don't care. 10,000, 12,000, doesn't matter how many come after me. God's, I'm going to sleep through it. I'm going to get rest. He's my shield. He's my glory. That means my reputation. He holds my head up high. He's a lifter of my head. Do what you want to do. Hey, I'm a child of the King. And some of us have got to have that attitude. When we see our problems and situations and trouble comes walking toward you, say, hey, I'm a child of the King. Stand back. I'm a child of the King. Hey, you don't know who you're messing with. You don't know what's going on. I told somebody this evening, I said, I looked at my church shoes from Sunday night and I saw a little bit of residue from the devil and I just kind of ran it into the ground again to make sure, shook it all off. And we got to do the same thing spiritually. Say, you know what? Get thee behind me. God is the lifter of my head. Notice, and I'm hurrying to a close, but we notice what happens in this story where David ends up on the victorious side. In fact, scripture says there were 20,000 in 2 Samuel. It tells us there were 20,000 that perished. And in fact, it says more perished in the war because of the environment they were in, because of the woods. Than actually in the battle. And Absalom, who rose up in rebellion against the man of God, against the kingdom, against the anointed one, ended up dying by a relative. And can I tell you, David had to have known something in his spirit, because David makes the statement. He says, hey, be easy on Absalom. He didn't want his son to be harmed. He said, deal softly with Absalom, is what he says. Saints of God, there's a lot of stuff and there's a lot of things that we're dealing with. And we need to pray about it. We need to talk to the Lord, but we not need be afraid of it. We don't need to be scared. You don't need to be scared of the devil. He needs to be scared of you. You need to get your growl back. You know, as they were arresting Stephen in the scripture, and they even growled at him. They even gnashed at him. You know what? We need to growl back at the devil and say, you're roaring, and I can roar too in the name of Jesus. Hear me roar. The devil has got to hear you roar with a shout, with the praise, and with the prayer, and with the thanksgiving, because he's the lifter of your head. Somebody say amen. The sustainer says means he strengthens or he supports, and it's for us to keep going. Psalm 37 and 17 says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And the New Living Translation of Psalm 37 and 17 says, for the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Somebody say, God takes care of me. I wonder in this scripture setting if when Absalom was in rebellion, if David began to testify to himself about the time he was running from Saul and God sustained him. I wonder if David testified to himself about the time of the lion and the bear. I wonder if David maybe even hung his head down in embarrassment, in shame, because of what was taking place in his home. The humiliation. Maybe he was scared, embarrassed, depressed. You know, a lot of times you see folks with their head down, you ask them, hey, keep your head up. They don't have the strength to put their head up. They're broken. They're emotionally, spiritually. Maybe they're embarrassed. Maybe they're ashamed. Maybe they're dealing with some stuff and they don't even have the strength to lift up their head. Can I tell you, whether you have the strength or not to lift up your head, God is the lifter of your head. That's what David knew, that God was the lifter of his head. Psalm 4 and 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We don't need to be scared people. We don't need to be afraid or timid people. That God did not give you a spirit of fear, of power, love, and a sound mind. He's propping some of you up tonight. Lean on Him. He's holding you up tonight. Lean on Him. He's the lifter of your head. When your head is hung down and you're trying to think of thoughts and strategies, what you're going to do and how you're going to do, and you just can't wrap your mind around the things that you're going through and the discrepancies of people. You know, one day they're nice to you, one day they want to isolate you, and when you've got intimidation or insecurity that has a grip on you, and you're wrestling with all these things, and you've got spiritual fatigue, and you got financial adversity, and it's the weight of the world is not only of spiritual war but a physical and an emotional thing. Remember, He's the lifter of your head. He is the lifter of your head. David says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." I mean, what a testimony. I mean, the Lord, David is speaking metaphorically, but just to shatter the jaw of your enemy and break their teeth. You know, it's like they've been doing so much talking, and the Lord's like, "I'll handle you." And their teeth are coming out in their hand. Hey, we got to remember this thing. Salvation comes from God. And salvation is continued in God. Our sustaining comes from God, and our sustaining needs to be. We need to rely on God for our sustaining. We get out of balance when we think we can do it all on our own. Well, I've been doing it long enough. I've kicked it. I've overcame it. I've got enough under my belt. You're not that good. You are not that good. Psalmist says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and you shall be lifted up. The everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. It doesn't say that you're the King of glory. It doesn't say that you're the strong and mighty. It says the Lord. Let King Jesus do what He does. Let Him lift up your head. Let Him lean on Him tonight. Allow Him to give you peace tonight. Allow Him to strengthen you. Don't hang your head down in disappointment. And you may feel embarrassed and ashamed and bummed out and weary, but let God lift up your head. Lift up your eyes from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from God. That's where your help is coming from. Lift up your head and let your hands be lifted up and your voices be lifted up, and talk to a holy God who loves His people, for we're a chosen people. If the musicians would come, if you got trouble and you're embarrassed and you're ashamed of some of the things that you're going through, guess what? Less people know about it than you realize. Everybody ain't walking around talking about it. Everybody in the office is out to get you. Everybody in your neighborhood talks about you. Nobody in the church be gossiping about you. Better not. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You know, I say this all the time, and you're going to hear it often. Condemnation comes from the devil and from people. Scripture says there is no condemnation. He's the lifter of your head. He lifts you up. He lifts you up. Somebody say, "He lifts me up." Who would stand tonight? I wouldn't leave this church service, this Bible study tonight, with anything on my mind or heart that should be given to the Lord. I wouldn't. Don't do it. If you're thinking about it like, "Well, I'll wait till prayer meeting tomorrow or Sunday morning, or I'll come Sunday night when it's a little bit more rowdy," you know? Don't do it. Don't do that. Whatever it is, lay it at the foot of the altar. If you need to ask someone for forgiveness, please, here, Pastor, ask Him for forgiveness. I mean, don't go home tonight and have a lot against your brother or sister or somebody, and you know it. Scripture, James says, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth not good, to him it is sin." Whether they know it or not, you know it. So the burden is on you. As we say in the criminal justices, the burden of proof is on you. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If I've done something to you, I ask you to forgive me. I don't want there to be anything between you and I, and definitely between you and the Lord. He's the lifter of your head. If you need clarity in thoughts, strategy, decisions, family issues, business ideas and ventures, hurts and worries and emotional distress. Talk to the Lord about it. Let Him sustain you. If you're hurting this morning, this evening, and you don't know why some of the things that happened, why things happened this week the way they are, and hey, I wouldn't leave this service tonight without talking to the Lord about it. He'll sustain you if you let Him. He'll give you rest if you let Him. Take me there. Would you come to the altar tonight? Would you make an altar? 1 Chronicles 29 and 13 says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name." He's the lifter of your head this evening. Come on, this morning, this evening, somebody's come in here with burdens, questions, and you need answers. You want answers. You got strategies and you got decisions, frustrations. You need direction. He's the lifter of your head. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take me to the place where your peace and your love overflow.
It's your conversation with your God. Let Him help you. It can be a business plan. It can be a problem with your next door neighbor. It can be something that happened a long time ago that you're wrestling with from your teenage years. What's preventing you from holding your head up high? He's the lifter of your head. Hallelujah. The weight of finances, backslidden kids and husbands and children. Confusion in your home. Addiction.
Take me to the place where
the ups and downs of life. Just weariness. He's the lifter of your head.
Hallelujah.